Episode 4, What is Your Calling? I had my first career-oriented existential crisis at the age of 24. I was in a PhD program, having finished all the coursework, studying for this exam they call the qualifiers, but I was having serious doubts about the path I was on. I was staring down the barrel of a life of science research and realizing research isn't really my thing. So I had these big questions running through my mind. But also, I had this upcoming PhD qualifier test. Hardest test of my life is an understatement. I had about a month to teach myself college-level thermodynamics and electrical engineering from scratch, since I'd never taken that prerequisite as an undergrad, not to mention all the other grad classes that they were testing you on. And your reward, if you pass this god-awful exam, is you got to stay in the program and spend the next 3 to 4 years of your life doing research and writing your dissertation. Now, during this time, I started having zaps of shooting chest pain at random points throughout the day. So a quick search on the trusty World Wide Web led me to the conclusion that I most certainly had an undiagnosed heart condition and that I needed to see a cardiologist ASAP. So I found one. So first they ran several tests in their office, which turned up nothing. Next, they sent me home with a bunch of electrodes taped to me and a monitoring device, this big thing hanging from my belt that had one button on it. So every time I was stabbed in the chest by a ghost, I was supposed to retaliate by pushing this button, which would log that exact moment in time to allow the physicians to go back and get a reading on what was going on inside me at that exact point. Which, of course, they'd be doing sometime long after I would have most certainly already been declared dead. Talk about lagging indicators. So I engaged in this process for 2 days. To my surprise, I was still alive by the time I came to the end of it. Doctors analyzed the data, and they called me with the news. I remember receiving the call. My heart was pounding. They said, "There's nothing wrong with your heart." They told me it was most likely a case of heart palpitations, a non-painful condition for which WebMD's descriptions did not at all match my symptoms. But since the witchcraft and wizardry of modern medicine had historically sent me home dissatisfied without any concrete answers in situations like this, I formed my own conclusion. Spirit guides must have been trying to send me a message that I needed to drop out of grad school and get out of town. Stat. Whoa. Spirit guides. I am not ready for that. Shouldn't I just pass the qualifiers first, in case I change my mind and ever want to finish my PhD. Zap! Keeled over in pain. Okay. I get it. I'll listen. I didn't, though. I was trying to pull a fast one on the spirit guides. Kept studying, study. And then the day came to take the test, and I took it. And days later, I was informed that, I'll be damned, I passed. Zap! Okay. I bargained with the angry spirit guides. I get it. I'll drop out already. Except I was too much of a wuss to completely drop out, so I took a year off. Thankfully, heart zapping stopped, which empirically proved my spirit guide theory. But I never went back to school to finish my dissertation. Instead, I went searching for a quote-unquote regular job. I was tired of school at this point, especially that level of school. You always have something hanging over your head that you should be doing when you aren't studying or aren't making progress on that massive thesis. Every night of pizza and movies is a day that you are basically tacking on to this long stretch of days that stand between you and being done with the whole thing so you can get out in the real world. So I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice to just go to work and then turn off my computer and go home and be done for the day so I can relax and have fun? Maybe corporate America can give me that. Dramatic pause. Fast forward a bit, and there I am, sitting in a cheap polyester suit and tie I could barely afford from my meager grad student savings, and on the other end of a conference line is a team of Japanese businessmen who are armed with a translator who asked me how many sales territory optimization projects for large pharmaceutical companies I had personally led to this point in my very short career. And I remember scrambling to think about the best way to say zero without saying zero, except as my brain tried to process that riddle, my boss put his hand across my chest so he could interrupt me, and he spoke directly into the conference phone, and he said, many, many. He said it twice, just to be clear. Then he handed the floor back to me. I don't remember much else about the meeting after that, because I spent the rest of it with my brain running off to these places that you do not want your brain going to when you're on an important call with the senior partners of your firm or watching your every facial twitch as you navigate a potentially very large contract for the business. You know what I'm talking about. When your brain starts doing things like, well, in this case, like imagining yourself yelling, "How do you say I quit in Japanese?" and tearing the tie off your neck and wrapping it around your forehead and roundhouse kicking the conference room door down and running down the corridor cackling with glee like some kind of newly minted lunatic. So snap back to me in the room. Moving to page 2 of the presentation, here's our project plan. Is this really what I should be doing with my life? I asked myself. I'm not sure if you've ever asked yourself that question. If you have, you know something about it. You don't usually ask it when you're happy. So here I am, right now, and I'm about to open up a topic that can't possibly be done justice in a brief podcast episode. I wrote a whole book about this topic a couple years ago. What is your calling? The journey to find work you love. It's funny that you can write a whole book about something in a couple more years of traversing your own path, and you have a lot more to say about it. Not new conclusions, to be clear, just further exploration of a topic that I personally find endlessly fascinating and incredibly essential. So here's a question. Do you feel like you are living your calling right now? Do you want to? What does that even mean to you, to live one's calling, to pursue a calling? Do you think there's such a thing as being called to something? No right answers here, just questions. I've talked with so many people about this over the years. People's perspective about this varies widely. Mine is just one of many perspectives. The perspective I seem to come back to is that if we're attuned to it, if we're sensitive enough to it, at any given point in our lives, we are in a sort of conversation with life that has two parts to it. One is a pull from within toward a certain direction. This pull from within is akin to Carl Jung's notion of the process of individuation. Something inside us seeks to be expressed. We're being drawn to navigate some path that leads us to a greater sense of wholeness as human beings. The other half of the conversation is a pull from outside of us. It's what the circumstances of life seem to be asking of us. Use your talents or your gifts to fix this problem, to heal this pain, to take on this task at this moment in time. It's not one great grand calling from within or one great grand calling from without. It's this ongoing process of listening and navigating and course correcting toward what may be a largely unknown future vision, but one that is very real and very important and deeply authentic to you nonetheless. If we deny the pull from within, in my experience, there's always a price to pay. Your subconscious will have its pound of flesh. The denial of these deeper desires manifests in anything from ordinary boredom or dissatisfaction or unhappiness to much more profound issues, depression, anxiety, addiction. It's what's behind the often mislabeled notion of a midlife crisis or a quarter-life crisis or any kind of existential crisis. It's also a force that develops into physical ailments and sickness. Many people don't believe this because it sounds almost outrageous or unscientific until it happens to you. Or if you're lucky, until you wake up to the notion that the rational mind is but a tiny fragment of all that's going on inside of you. But it's not all about the pull from within. If you walk past a burning house and see a crying baby in the window, to keep walking because that wasn't part of your plan is to deny something vital about this conversation with life. Friedrich Buechner said that a calling or a true vocation is, quote, the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. And there it is, the pull from deep inside and the pull from outside. If only it were as simple as that sounds, because there's a third force at play and a fourth one, turns out. There's another pull from within, but this one doesn't come from the depths of you. It's more surface level, more ego-driven. It tends to be louder, gets more attention. These are like pulls for social status or power or the desire to quench something stemming from some unresolved part of your past. It's a sad commentary on the human race when you can see world leaders, for example, acting out their own neuroses and unresolved issues and failures to mature into fully grown adults on the world stage. These may be more egregious examples or perhaps more damaging, but let's not forget that we all play out our own version of this in our lives. We all have our own version of surface-level pulls that distract us from the deeper calls and tug us off the path into places that we don't really belong. Likewise, there's a fourth pull, or set of pulls, from outside that are less about the world's deep need and more about responding to the demands that stem from what are ultimately other people's surface issues. Think pleasing your parents or convincing yourself that all your so-called responsibilities are in fact necessities, or being complicit in going along with cultural or societal norms that aren't healthy. There are a few phrases or words that I think in some way capture what we're all really after in life, our deepest drives. Some words that ring true to me are inner freedom, feeling truly comfortable in our own skin, inner peace, love, belonging, connection, a sense of wholeness. To me, the journey toward these aims is learning to navigate this dance, this conversation between the inner pull and the pull from outside, to pursue a path that brings you toward this wholeness. It is not a purely rational path. I mean, I wish it was, but it's not. It's a path you have to navigate with other senses and intuitions that many of us have not fully developed because of our conditioning and our reliance on our prefrontal cortex. Learning to navigate this path is a central practice of my life. And if it's essential to you too, I am grateful to have another person to travel this journey alongside. These questions, they run counter to what occupies most people's attention. They run counter to social pressures. The courage to stick with them and to follow your deeper path is actually quite rare. I also have this intuition that traveling this path is about a lot more than simply well-being. And that alone would be reason enough in my book to travel it. But as you probably noticed, humanity has itself in quite a pickle right now. It sure seems as though something pretty massive needs to take shape pretty quickly if we're going to be able to right the ship. And it's my belief that the outer is always really just a reflection of the inner. The same way that we as individuals live out our patterns, our unresolved issues in our lives, we do that as a species too. And so it's my belief that this process, this answering the call from within and responding to the call from outside, this is a path of profound healing and transformation and growth for us as individuals, which makes it one of the few things that has the power to heal and transform and grow on a much bigger scale as well. It's just possible that our very survival depends on it. So, if you're on the path, I am in your corner. I'm rooting for you. Stick with it. Keep going. You're on the right track. Even if you're on the wrong track, if you're asking yourself these questions and you're taking action to seek and find your way back to the right track, you're already on the right track. Keep going.